It's been stated in various times and places that the purpose of college is not just to get a degree so you can get a job, so you can get a car, so you can get a house, although those things are important if you want to survive in our culture. But rather it is to discover a vocation, to identify a field of study in which to serve Christ as Lord, even as you focus on a particular occupation in which to be salt and light within our society. The word vocation, which today has been downgraded to in our culture to mean little more than a job, actually comes from the Latin word which means to call. The writer Frederick Buechner has said that vocation happens when our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. And this is not merely a response to problems, but it's an invitation to possibility. It also provides the intellectual, moral, and spiritual resources that produce delight, dignity, elegance, and hope. As the popular historian Thomas Cahill has noted, Jesus went around not so much teaching as much as issuing invitations. So today you are issued an invitation to love God with all of your mind as well as all your heart, to see the development of a Christian mind as part of the very essence of discipleship, to view the well-formed Christian mind as the best mind, to dig more deeply for a more reasoned, well-grounded, and better-grounded faith, to not settle for merely being educated, but to also develop a passion for learning, to not settle for merely being just in a bent and twisted world, but to hunger and thirst for justice on earth as it is in heaven, and to not only find a calling, but to love being called and to fall in love with the caller. That is what college is for, and we are so glad that you accepted our invitation. At this time, it is my privilege to introduce our president, Dr. Sandra Gray. Would you please welcome her to the platform?
Thank you, Dr. Colagan. It is so wonderful to be here. It's great to see all of you. We have missed you being here this summer, and there's just an energy and a vitality that you bring and that returns with you. And so we're glad the campus is pumping and energetic again. So we're looking forward to this great year together. I want to especially welcome the Awakened class. We love looking up and seeing you sitting in the balcony. I might say to you to be careful that you do not sit books on the edge of the balcony, because there may be someone below you that would be anxious if it were to begin falling toward their head. So, Awakened class, we're glad that you're here and you are joining the zealous sophomores, the fearless juniors, and the unashamed seniors. I can only imagine what this year and these next years are going to bring with awakened, zealous, fearless, unashamed student body. Each fall, in celebration of the start of a new academic year, the college holds its annual academic convocation to welcome students, new students, returning students, and to honor our faculty and staff. And for the Awakened class, I can tell you that we will not be processing in every chapel in our regalia. But it is a formal procession of the faculty that we do selected times throughout the year. And it's an age-long tradition. In fact, it dates all the way back to the 14th century. And so we continue this tradition. The last academic year, last year, I began with the theme, Building for the Future. And we talked about what that would mean and set many things in motion to begin building for the days ahead. And I said often that our future is as bright as the promises of God. And we think about the reality and the truth of that. Your future, our future, collectively and individually, is as bright as the promises of God. And so in thinking about that, I decided this year that we would take a look at those promises, begin digging into the promises. There are many, of course, scattered throughout Scripture. And there are many in the category that Peter calls the exceeding great and precious promises. And so each week during this academic year, We will have a promise that we will be holding and claiming with one another and taking as an encouragement for our daily activities. Dwight L. Moody said if we would take the promises of God and feed on them, that we would lift up our head in every circumstance and proclaim our richness in Him. And so we want to be feeding on the Word of God and on the promises this year. So our text for this morning is a promise. It's a familiar one to many of you, but I think it's an excellent one for us in beginning this new academic year. It's found in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, you have many questions, and I'm certain those particularly in the undecided major, the undecided category, you're wondering what your major may be, what the Lord may be calling you to do. And you're even asking the question, will God show me His will? Seniors certainly are asking the question about your vocation and what the next step will be and where will God be leading you into your work as you leave here. And you may be asking the question, do I know what is needed or enough that is needed to be sought out by a prospective employer? And so all of those questions that we are asking about the future, and all of us are asking them, it's not just the undecideds or the incoming students, but all of us are asking these questions. Lord, what would you have for us in this day? And so this scripture should be an encouragement to you because the Lord is saying, I know the plans that I have for you, and they are plans for good. And if we would continue down through Jeremiah 29 in the next verse, he says that if you will seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And so a part of our emphasis and a part of our efforts together is to be seeking God so that we can understand what He's calling us to do and His call upon our life. In the pews, you have a hymnal, and if you were to pull that out, you may if you'd like. If you were to pull it out and to turn to page 659, you would find a wonderful Charles Wesley hymn that was written in 1762, which is titled, A Charge to Keep I Have. And if you were to notice the second stanza, the words in the second verse of that song, it says that our charge to keep, as we're looking at the title of the hymn, is that we would serve the present age, our calling to fulfill. May it all my powers engage to do my master's will. And so what is this present age and what are those powers that we are to engage to fulfill the mission? How would we characterize this present age? What does it look like? We are entering a post-Christian world, which means there's a reaction against modernity and its reliance on reason to determine truth. Postmodernists say that reason fails because there is no absolute truth to be found. What is our response to this claim? Is there, in fact, truth? What is required for us to individually and corporately serve this present age? Well, I would say certainly that it calls for tough-minded Christianity. We carry a responsibility to rise up for the intellectual contest of the mind and for the moral center of our culture. The need for worldview thinking and living on the part of the Christian is urgent. The resolve of Asbury College to remain Christ-centered has never been stronger. There's no room for the weak or the timid of mind, heart, and spirit. Our social, political, economic, and cultural structures are shifting. And so to serve this present age, it means that we need to be prepared to give answers for what we believe and why we are persons of hope. And that comes out of 1 Peter 3:15, where we're challenged to be prepared to give answers for what we believe and why we have hope. And so, as the words of the song say, oh, may it all my powers engage, what are those powers? And I want to lift up three particular ways in which we engage this present age. All three of these would in themselves merit volumes of writing and much discussion, but I want to lift them up briefly to you today, and we'll be taking a look at them further throughout the year. But if we are to engage what's available to us to serve this present age, I want to narrow it down to three primary components. One is that we begin with the natural abilities that you bring to this table. You are bringing your own natural capacities, your natural abilities, your intellect, your mental thinking, your emotional and physical being. And this does come, certainly, to the classroom, and it comes to all of the activities that you will be involved in throughout your academic career here and the rest of your life. But our natural abilities and capacities are not enough. You also bring, then, as the second component, your moral responsibilities or the scriptural convictions to your mental thinking and your intellectual pursuits. And then thirdly, we have God-ordained opportunities that are before us that only He could bring. Now, we've spent the past several days getting to know our incoming students and our new faculty persons that are here this year. And they bring, each of you bring, natural abilities, your own uniqueness, gifts, and talents, those that are unique to you. And while study and practice does increase our potential for excellence, our genetic characteristics formed from our biological mother and father have much to do with our achievement and success. We can just take a look around campus this year at the range of ideas, both in the breadth and depth of expression, to appreciate the uniqueness that each of you bring. The English author Francis Bacon said that our natural abilities are like natural plants. They need to be shaped and developed through study. And so it is at Asbury College. We will be in the laboratory, in this laboratory in which we explore, examine, and discover our own natural capacities. And there are many that I've discovered are not my abilities and capacities. In fact, when I find myself occasionally wanting to freehand a little smiley face, sometimes I think it doesn't look very smiley. I'm glad that we have computer art that helps me in drawing, because painting and drawing does not happen to be my gift. But along with our natural abilities, we have moral responsibilities. That is, those situations that are before us in which we are making conscious efforts about what we believe is right and wrong. And that comes from our spiritual convictions. Those convictions, or the moral decisions that we are making about how we interact with others, about how we treat people, what we do with our resources, how we actually engage even our passions, is driven and formed and shaped by our spiritual convictions. And so this suggests that we have some sort of moral code or a value structure from which our moral choices originate. And so you need to think critically about your own personal moral code. Some of you may have heard this story, but I believe it bears repeating. When I was a sophomore in high school, actually throughout all of my undergraduate studies, I was not a Christian. I have a brother who's a year older than I, and we were the typical siblings that had very strong sibling rivalries, and so he was always trying to tell me what he knew, and I was trying to tell him what I knew, but we happened to be involved, when I was a sophomore in college, we happened to be involved in a discussion about some of the life issues of that day, and Rick, my brother, and I took very opposite views. And so as we argued and debated and seemed to get heavier into the discussion, he finally stopped and he said, "You know, let me just explain one thing to you, and this might just end our conversation, but I think it would certainly clarify the conversation." He said, "There's one thing you need to understand about me, and that is that I form my opinions and beliefs based upon the Word of God. And so any discussion that we would have, any argument or debate that we are having, would be coming from the fact that I am informed by Scripture, and Scripture is my foundation. And so I begin with Scripture. And from that point, then, we try to discover by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, by talking with other Christians with whom we interact and those that we trust to help us in sharpening our faith. But it was one of those aha moments for me, because it was one of those moments in which I knew that my brother had me, so to speak. It was like, aha, he has something I don't have. Because all of the arguments and debates and discussions that we were having over all of these social concerns of the day, I was repeating what one person had said or what I had read or what I just thought, and I was coming from many, many different frameworks. And he was able to drill it down and to drill down to say, this is my foundation. And so everything that we determine has to somehow match up with and not be in opposition to what Christ has said. And that was an important moment for me, one of those crossroads moments for me, because I left that discussion with him having the last word. I had nothing else to add to it, in deciding that I needed to do as my brother had done. I needed to find a source, a foundation, one of those points in which I could turn to and say, this is the basis of what I believe. And so I set out looking for ways and places and sources of information that would help me to say, okay, this is the one. And it was really out of that conversation that I was challenged then to give my heart to the Lord, because I discovered that there was no other foundation than the holy word of Jesus himself on which I could build my life. And so it was the point at which I began to seek out Christ for myself and then ultimately to give my life to him. And so I would ask you, what is your foundation this morning? And as you enter the classroom or the music chambers or the art gallery or the science labs, and you're making decisions there about the way you conduct your life in the dorm room, out with your friends on Friday evening, what is the basis that you are using for which you determine right and wrong? An accurate definition of moral responsibility is based upon an accurate understanding of what is right and wrong. And so I believe, we believe at Asbury College, that Scripture is the source of truth and it is that foundation. There are many complex issues that we are dealing with, and some relatively new ones for us. For example, the potential for human cloning is near reality. Or the matter of genetic manipulation to pre-select the gender of a child. How should we as Christians view these new realities? This year at Asbury College, we will begin a faith and culture series. A chapel, it will involve chapel, it will involve a forum. We will spend a week engaging these emerging ideas and practices, and we will evaluate them in the context of our faith. These hot topics are before us each day, and we want to be prepared to serve the present age by being a credible voice in the discussion. The first series will begin in November. It will begin the week of November 6th, and it will be a faith and culture series on ethics in medicine. In the spring, we will have two other series, one dealing with the issue of sexuality and another dealing with issues of public policy and economics. So our natural abilities we bring to the table, to our activities, our understanding of what's right and wrong, of the foundation that we use, the Scripture, our moral responsibilities, spiritual convictions. And thirdly, we bring the understanding that we have God-ordained opportunities before us, the supernatural, if you will, the dimension of thought, activity, and knowledge that can only be understood or that is even only possible in the spiritual realm. It is as we understand the limitlessness of an almighty God that we have the true, authentic capacity to serve this present age. Shawnee Fleener, Professor Fleener, told a beautiful story regarding her Asian daughter and their visit to California this summer. It was a beautiful story. I won't take the time to tell you that, but it was one of those God-ordained opportunities, something that she nor her husband would have been able to bring about. And many of you have travels and experiences this summer in which you could make an account of the way that God showed up, the God-ordained opportunities that came that could not have occurred any other way. So natural abilities are not enough. My own life is a testimony to this. In those early collegiate days, I thought that hard work and good education would be the keys to success. But I discovered through painful experiences that there are many issues completely out of my control, and that hard work and education were not enough. I needed those other powers to engage that Charles Wesley wrote about. And you too will discover this at any point that you are trying to go it alone. An appropriate moral responsibility is only understood within the context of our faith, of our spiritual convictions. And so it's the intersection of the natural capacities and abilities that we bring, our spiritual foundation, and then the understanding that God then goes before us and presents opportunities that are beyond our understanding. Now, this year will promise to be one of historical significance, in which we institutionally have some very tangible ways in which we are serving the present age, and we will express them in specific ways. This past June, we had groundbreaking for the new Center for Communication Arts building. It's been designed and it will be equipped to take us into the new age of communication. We anticipate construction beginning this fall, and so it won't be long until you'll be able to follow the construction, not only as you walk by the site, but we will also have a website that you will be able to watch construction as it is taking place each day. The first week of March in 2010, which is just about 6 months away, will be the official rollout of Asbury University. The Board of Trustees made the decision over a year ago that Asbury College would move to the university structure. And so we've been planning and designing and working toward this end for over a year. And so I want to say to you, the unashamed class, you will be the inaugural class that will be the first to receive Asbury University diplomas. And so you stand at an important part in history. We also know that in this fall that we will begin designing for a new housing complex and a way for us to have additional beds, 140 or 50 additional dorm beds, because we're quite full and still anticipating growing enrollments. And so institutionally, our charge to keep in serving the present age is that we have adequate infrastructure and facilities that we would be relevant in this and the coming generations. And so you will see many tangible ways in which institutionally we are looking to the future, and we are certainly understanding that our future is as bright as God's promises to us. So as you begin classes today, and perhaps some of you have already had an 8 o'clock class or a 9 o'clock class this morning, you enter knowing that it's the integration of your natural abilities, of living out your moral and spiritual convictions, that is, making the appropriate choices, and the expectation of God-ordained opportunities which will fit you to serve the present age. Look for the Lord in every situation. Expect Jesus to show up. Invite him to show up. There is nothing too small in the detail of your life for you to invite Christ himself to enter the center of that. Invite him in. No matter how gifted you are intellectually, the lack of moral responsibility will impede your success and will result in less than God's best for you. We desire God's best for you. He does indeed have plans to give us a hope and a future. And we'll use these days, your days, at Asbury College to equip you to serve the present age. In closing, let me remind you of this open altar. This altar has historical significance for us as well as spiritual significance. Oftentimes we find that our alumni return, and this is the first place that they find themselves, is in Hughes Auditorium or at this altar in which they made commitments to the Lord or in which he met them in a very special way. And so this altar is a symbol of Asbury College. I want to invite you to come often. It's a place of surrender of your own life to him, but it's also a place to thank him. It's a place for you to pour your love out on Jesus and to receive his love being poured out on you. It's a place where you can take your family and friends, those burdens that are weighing heavy on your heart to come to this place. Now, obviously, this is not the only altar, but we need to find ourselves at an altar before God, before Him each day. But do know that this altar is always open. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we are blessed people today. We are so blessed because we are your children. You said, I no longer call you friend, but I call you my son, my daughter. I thank you, Lord, that we are no longer your servants, but you call us friend. And so you, Jesus, completely surround us. You put your arms around us. You walk with us. You go before us and pave the way. You lay the stepping stones ahead of us to chart a course. You come alongside us to give us strength and energy and direction. You come along behind us even and redeem and help correct and forgive and heal those wrong choices that we've made. So we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of walking this journey with you. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of being at Asbury College, in this institution that you are using mightily, you have used, you are using, and will continue to use in a mighty way as our students are touching the world and making a difference in their present age for you. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. We believe that each student, each faculty, staff, administrator, that all of us are here by divine appointment. And so I pray, Lord, your protection. I pray your covering. I pray the armor of God upon each one of us. We pray, Lord, that this year will be the year that you have ordained it to be. We pray, Lord, that it will be a year that we will be free of harm. We pray for safety and protection. We pray, Lord, for a protection not only of our physical bodies, but that you would guard our minds and our hearts. Guide those things, Lord, that we pour into our mind. Guard the passions of our hearts, that they would be those things that you have so ordained. And so we commit this year to you, Jesus, and we do anticipate. We are looking for those God-ordained opportunities. We are expectant. We are anticipating, Lord, you to show up. We thank you that we know that you are faithful, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you desire to be present with us in all that we do. And so we commit this ear to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.